We are on the record. This is docket number 2022-0375, David Collins and the Day versus Chairman, State of Connecticut, Connecticut Port Authority, Executive Director, State of Connecticut, Connecticut Port Authority, and State of Connecticut, Connecticut Port Authority. My name is Danielle McGee. I've been designated as the hearing officer in this matter. For the record, today's date is January 3rd, 2023, and the time now is 2:04 p.m. I'll begin by taking the appearances of the parties, beginning with the complainant.
David Collins from the Day.
Thank you. For the respondents?
Christopher Hogg for the respondent.
Thank you. Assisting me today is my colleague, Attorney Kevin Munn. He will proceed with providing the remaining instructions for the hearing this afternoon.
Based upon what transpires here today, the hearing officer will prepare a hearing officer's report, which will contain suggested findings of fact and conclusions of law. All parties will get a copy of the report in the mail, along with a date and time when the full commission will consider the report. The commission can either accept the report, reject the report, or modify it in any way at the time it deliberates upon it. You will be invited to speak to the commission on that day if you so choose. It is not required that you appear at the commission meeting, but keep in mind that the commission can change the report. If you do decide to speak to the commission, you will be limited to 10 minutes of legal argument per side, exclusive of questioning by the commissioners. In other words, you cannot present new evidence to the commission, and all evidence needs to get in the record today. We follow the Uniform Administrative Procedure Act, which means the complainants will go first, present all relevant testimony subject to cross-examination, and any relevant documents. Redirect testimony is allowed. After the complainants are finished, the respondents will have the same opportunity to present testimony and evidence. At the conclusion of testimony, the parties may make statements in summation if they so choose. Do the parties understand the procedures I've outlined?
Yes.
Yes.
So then I'd like to suggest, just to save time, if we could briefly go off the record to see if the parties can stipulate to the documents that will be entered as evidence, and then go back on the record and read any such evidence into the record. Do the parties agree to go off the record for that purpose?
Yes.
All right,
I don't think there's anything to be entered into evidence, so I'm not sure it's
necessary to
go off the record. I just assume not go off the record.
Okay. Do you have proposed exhibits for today?
I have no exhibits.
Do you, Attorney Hogg?
Yes and yes, in the sense that, if I may explain.
Sure.
Today we have provided the FOIA response to the FOIA request. And so therefore, that would be our exhibit, except I've given it to Mr. Collins. So he is in possession of that response today. He obviously hasn't had a chance to review it yet. It was provided in electronic form. And so that would be our one and only exhibit were we to actually move forward with this. But I think that satisfies the request that's been made.
Attorney Collins. Sorry, Mr. Collins. how do you respond?
I'm very frustrated here. This is a terrible waste of everyone's time. There was never a reason to withhold this from the public, and there was never a reason given. And I'd like to proceed with the hearing. I suppose there's nothing to be done. I would like to seek any kind of sanctions that are available. I mean, how can a public agency just ignore the law? And then at the 11th hour, when they're supposed to produce and say, oh, here it is. I just find the whole thing just so unethical and unreasonable. And I'd certainly like the commission to review it. And if there's any way or form for that, I suppose not. But really to have denied this information from the public for all this time, but with no particular reason. There's this ridiculous notion that the Attorney General is going to somehow intervene at the 11th hour. And as of 4 o'clock yesterday, he didn't intervene. Well, of course he didn't. There's no law to prevent the release of this material. There never was. It was a decision made by the Port Authority chairman, who is a subject of the investigation, to withhold this from the public. And then he actually lied to the newspaper and said that the Attorney General had told him not to release it. And then the Attorney General told the newspaper in the follow-up story that they never said that. They never gave any advice to the Port Authority. There was never a reason to provide this. And to have let it go on this long and to keep it from the public for that long period of time, I just feel like I know there's probably not a procedure. Now that they're making it available, I guess that's going to be the end of it. But That's my piece. It's so frustrating.
Attorney Hogg, a couple questions. So at this point in time, is the Port Authority withholding any responsive documentation? Are there any exemptions at issue at this point in time?
No.
Nothing's been withheld. Okay. And Mr. Collins, you haven't had an opportunity to review what's been provided? Okay. Attorney Hogg, do the respondents dispute that they weren't prompt in providing this disclosure?
No. We were prompt in providing this disclosure. The disclosure sought the a copy of a subpoena by the Attorney General's office and associated documents. There was an investigation that was being conducted by the Attorney General's office, and we asserted the exemption, that's 210.13, that the matter was under investigation. And in conversations with the Attorney General's office, although they didn't specifically, he's correct, they don't represent the freedom of, or the Connecticut Port Authority, nevertheless, they did not want their investigation disturbed. So we withheld that. We informed them of it, that the request came in, and they discussed it with us, and they wanted to proceed with their investigation unimpeded. The Attorney General's office is a representative of the people. They're elected officials that have, among other duties, a charge to investigate. And we honored their request and asserted an investigation exemption. That the Attorney General says they're not counsel for FOIA is correct. That we withheld them because of the pending investigation, that is correct. In preparation, after the appeal was filed, in preparation for this hearing, and if I need to, there would be, if he's going to contest this, there are additional exhibits we're prepared to offer. On December 20th, we notified the Attorney General's office that there was going to be a hearing for January 3rd, and we provided them with our position, namely that we were prepared to disclose this unless they've intervened and came forward with an objection, an exemption, or somehow tried to prevent the disclosure. We told them that there was a drop dead date of January 2nd. On January 2nd, that was December 30th, and that we would disclose to Mr. Collins on January 2nd. So my dates, but that letter is dated December 20th, 2022. We did not hear from them. They did not intervene in this case. So on January 2nd, we wrote a letter to them essentially stating that we did not hear from them and that we were going to produce the documents related to the subpoena. We then sent an email yesterday to Mr. Collins in the hopes that he would avoid a trip coming up here, saying we are going to produce the documents, particularly in light of these two letters, that we would be sending it to him by Federal Express as soon as Federal Express opened today. We decided to hold it until we got here in case he was personally going to show up. So he did show up. We've given them to him. So we did withhold the documents. We did so inconsistent with the Attorney General's informal request because of a pending investigation. We believe that there is an exemption that applies in the sense that the Attorney General was doing their investigation. We don't know the status of that investigation at the moment. But they did not come forward and say they wanted us to take any further position on this. My colleague, Ed Heath, is here today, who interfaced with the Attorney General's office and is prepared to give you a rundown, if you should desire, of his conversations with the Attorney General's office and the reason why we took the action that we took.
So, Mr. Collins, it sounds to me if we're going to have a hearing, there's really only two issues that we'd be having a hearing on. One is whether, after you've had an opportunity to review that packet, everything has been provided and you don't dispute that. And also, it sounds as though you're contesting whether the disclosure was prompt or not. And Attorney Hogg has given some representations about why the amount of time has transpired as it had for production. So we could have a hearing on that issue or on those issues. If you want time to review those records before we proceed with doing that, I don't have an objection. I'll hear from Attorney Hogg. How would you like to proceed today? It's your complaint.
Well, first of all, it's a production of records. It's on a disk, and I couldn't possibly go through it or have the hearing to determine if it's responsive or not. So that sort of, and honestly, it's the 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They said maybe we can make it available by Federal Express today. I mean, it was so disingenuous the way it was presented here. There's no way I could have reviewed it and known today if it was responsive or not. And in terms of the timeliness, I mean, they wrote a letter to the Attorney General in December. Of course, the request was made in August. What happened to all those months? And really, their objection or their proposed exemption is preposterous, especially coming from a fine law firm in Connecticut. I mean, they have no justification to withhold material related to an investigation by the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General knows that. He told them that. He said it in public, and they told the newspaper, we haven't advised anybody about this. We haven't told them not to release it. Maybe they don't want them to release it, but it's a public document. It's a subpoena that was sent to this agency. It's a public document, and then they responded with public materials that they gave back to the Attorney General in response. That's all public. It should have been made public. There was this whole smokescreen about the Attorney General didn't really want it out there because of his investigation. It's his investigation. It's not the Port Authority's investigation. They received a subpoena. It's in their files. It's a public document. And they know that. These are skilled lawyers, and this was just a delay tactic. It went all the way from, and it was at the behest, I can tell you, too, it was at the behest of the chairman of the Port Authority, who was a subject of this investigation. And, of course, he didn't want it released. And so it wasn't a vote by the Port Authority not to release this material. It was a decision by the Port Authority chairman, and he engaged these lawyers to delay and stall, and that's what they've done. And now here we are the day of the hearing, and I still haven't had a chance to review the material. So whatever kind of ruling can be made in terms of their behavior and the stalling and the delay, we're here. Let's have that hearing.
Okay. So we can proceed with taking testimony on the issue of promptness. And if you wish to also have your witness put on some evidence about the search for the records to establish that everything's been disclosed at this time to Mr. Collins, that might be helpful as we conclude today, give you an opportunity to take a look at those records. And if you contest that the production has been made in full, we can take that up at a subsequent hearing if we need to.
All right. Thank you.
So let's do this. We'll proceed with, I'll swear in the witnesses. Attorney Hogg, do you want to submit any of the proposed exhibits?
Yes, I will submit three more exhibits to the court through the witness.
Sure.
And if you want those in advance, fine, but...
Yeah, I would like to take them in advance. Do you have an extra set of what you provided to Mr. Collins?
Yes, I provided him with one already. So, do you want one or two?
One set for our files. Thank you. Before we mark the respondents, let me just give a clean copy of Mr. Collins' request. So I'm going to mark as complainant's exhibit A, Mr. Collins, your July 18th, 2022 request. It's an email, subject FOI subpoenas, directed to Ulysses Hammond, and the August 13, 2022 email reply from Mr. Hammond to Mr. Collins. So it's a two-page exhibit. It'll be complainant's A. All right, Attorney Hugg, do you want to identify the first proposed exhibit?
Yes, first exhibit is a letter dated December 20th, 2022 from Edward J. Heath to Joshua L. Jackson at the Office of the Attorney General.
Any objection, Mr. Collins?
No objection.
So respondents one is a one-page letter dated December 20th, 2022 from Joshua L. Jackson, Esquire, or rather from Edward J. Heath to Joshua L. Jackson, Esquire. Okay. Next.
And the next exhibit is an email from, a letter from Edward J. Heath to Joshua Jackson of the Attorney General's Office, dated January 2nd, 2023.
Okay. Any objection, Mr. Collins?
No objection.
All right, so that will be respondents, Exhibit 2, January 2nd, 2023. Letter from Edward J. Heath to Joshua L. Jackson, Esquire. Okay. And then I think we have one more.
And the last one is an email from, it's on my actual trailer up at the top, but it's an email from Edward Heath to David Collins at theday.com, dated Monday, January 2nd, 2023 at 4:30.
Okay. Any objection, Mr. Collins?
No.
All right, so I'll be respondents three. It's a one-page email communication dated January 2nd, 2023, from Edward Heath to Mr. Collins. All right. So anyone who will be offering testimony, I'll just ask that you please stand and raise your right hand, and my colleague will administer the oath.
Mr. Collins, are you going to be testifying?
Oh, I guess so. I didn't want to think of it as testimony, but yes.
Do you have a
break?
Yeah.
Do you solemnly swear or solemnly and sincerely affirm, as the case may be, that the evidence you shall give concerning this case shall be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or upon penalty of perjury?
I do.
All right, Mr. Collins, so I've heard, I think, a bit of your argument in terms of what's at issue. So if you just restate your name for the record, confirm you've taken the oath.
David Collins from The Day newspaper in New London.
And you've taken the oath.
Yeah, I've taken the oath.
Okay. So just so we can orient where we are, you made a request on July 18th, 2022 to the Port Authority, seeking all correspondence regarding subpoenas issued to the Port Authority since 2018, including the subpoenas, accompanying correspondence, and all responses by anyone affiliated with the Port Authority. There was, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, a response back in August of 2022 from the Port Authority, providing some records, but withholding others under 1-210B13, is
that's
that correct? Right. And so I've heard you offer some argument up to this point about those records having been withheld from you up until yesterday.
That's right.
Is there anything else you wish to tell me about what happened in that period of time between your request and yesterday?
No, I guess my comments, our other comments were on the record, so my, I think that's pretty succinct.
Okay.
I've never seen a reason why that the documents wouldn't be made available, and it's been this great length of time until they were.
Okay. And my understanding, as you've argued thus far, is that the respondents have not been prompt in providing you these responsive records, that there was no reason for the delay, in your opinion. And you've also not had an opportunity to review what's been provided to you. Is that
right?
That's
right.
And so you're not exactly sure what's been provided.
That's right.
Is that fair? Okay.
That's right.
All right. Anything else I need to know?
No.
Okay. Attorney Hugg, do you want to cross-examine Mr. Collins on any of his testimony?
other than the fact that you're receiving the records today, what is your factual basis that the position taken by the authority is not reasonable? Based on what you know, not on hearsay, based on what you know.
I know that the Attorney General said to the Connecticut Mirror at the time that this was requested.
Objection. Hearsay.
Can I introduce? I have an article from the Connecticut Mirror at that time. May I introduce that? Would that make it not hearsay?
An article from the newspaper doesn't make it any less hearsay.
What's the relevance of the article? Why would you like to introduce it?
Because he says, I'm trying to refer to the fact that the Attorney General said in a public newspaper back in August that he was not advising the Port Authority not to release this information.
So
I have a copy of that article. He says by saying it is hearsay. So I have a copy of the article.
So Mr. Hogg, I'm sure you're aware of this. Administrative proceedings, we allowed hearsay testimony, but you did ask him about what he knows, right?
Correct.
So could you restate the question?
Yes, I'd like to know factually what he knows is unreasonable in the timing of the production.
I know that I asked for it in July, and we are sitting here the day of the hearing in January, and I've only now received a computer disk that I can't read yet. So I feel that that's an unreasonable length of time to wait, especially given that there was no reasonable exemption being claimed. There's nothing that in the law that says that an investigation, but that the Port Authority is supposed to protect an investigation being conducted by the Attorney General's office. They received a subpoena, it's a public document, it's in their files, and they're obligated to release that. And there's nothing, and they've made all these suggestions and ideas that somehow the Attorney General had objected, but there's nothing on the record that said the Attorney General ever objected to the release of it. In fact, the only thing that I know on the record is reading and talking to spokespeople for the department, for the Attorney General's office, that they did not advise the Port Authority how to respond to the FOI request. So the fact is that the Port Authority was obligated to respond according to the law, which says it's a public document, just the same way they released the subpoena from the FBI and the grand jury that same time and during that same period. But for some reason, the Port Authority chairman, who is the subject of this investigation, didn't want to release this particular subpoena and the response to it. And that's why we're here. They know that the subpoenas were public documents. They released almost immediately the federal subpoenas, but they didn't release this one. And there's nothing on the record, nothing on the record from the Attorney General's office, despite all these 11th hour, please call us, tell us that there's nothing where the Attorney General ever said that suggested that it was not public. What they have on their investigation is certainly not public, but their subpoena is.
Any other questions from Mr. Collins?
Yes. You received a reply on or about August 22nd. Is that right?
I'm not looking at my email. I can't type.
Oh, I think the record reflects that was August 22nd. You received a reply.
I have an August 13 email in evidence, unless there was another email.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have the date wrong. It's August 13th. And in that disclosure, an exemption was asserted, correct?
You have exerted an exemption, yes.
Okay. And you appealed that?
Yes.
And the hearing is today on that appeal?
Yes. Okay.
And in the interim period of time while this appeal was pending a hearing, there was no disclosure?
That's right.
Of the particular documents disclosed today?
That's right.
But you did receive other documents, correct?
I did, yes. And I did not appeal those requests.
It was a substantial volume of documents, was it not?
Yes.
All right, no further questions.
Thank you. All right, so I'll turn the case over to the respondent, Mr. Collins. Attorney Hogg, you've already offered some opening statement earlier. You can proceed with calling your witness. Just
sure.
Have him identify himself for the record, please.
Edward Heath.
Edward Heath, thank you. And you've taken the oath, sir?
I have.
Thank you. You can proceed when you're ready.
Attorney Heath, When were you advised of the subpoena issued by the Attorney General's Office for the State of Connecticut to the Court of Port Authority?
The subpoena, I believe, came in the fall of 2021. Subpoenas, there were two of them.
Okay. What was the first one?
They both came in at the same time. One was under the Attorney General's whistleblower statute. The other was under the Attorney General's antitrust statute.
What was your role?
I was outside counsel to the CPA, am outside counsel to the CPA with respect to responding to those subpoenas and the subpoena that came from the United States Department of Justice thereafter.
And did you assist the Port Authority in providing responses to those subpoenas?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I don't want you to disclose attorney-client privilege here, but I do want to get some facts out. Did you have a discussion with the Attorney General's office concerning compliance with any of the subpoenas?
Concerning compliance with the subpoenas, yes. I had extensive discussions with two representatives of the Attorney General's office. The way the AG's office handles these subpoenas is there was one assistant attorney general assigned to compliance with the antitrust subpoena and one assigned to compliance with the whistleblower subpoena. And I typically spoke to both of them together on the phone.
And in your conversations with them, was there any discussion about compliance with this? Or did the FOIA request arise in connection with any of your discussions with the Attorney General?
It did. It arose in my discussions with the AG's office. It arose in my discussions with the U.S. Department of Justice. Before any FOIA request came in, I advised both the federal and the state agency, the DOJ on the federal side, the AG on the state side, that there may be FOIA requests that come in the ordinary course that we would have to respond to, and I was giving them a heads up of that fact as a courtesy. In the summer, I think it was July, when Mr. Collins' request came in, I went back to both of those agencies' representatives, and I said, we've received a FOIA request, and the CPA intends to comply with that by producing the subpoenas and any documents produced in response to them. The Department of Justice's response was, we understand, no issue. The Attorney General's office, I had a call with each of the two representatives I mentioned earlier. On the whistleblower subpoena side, it was Attorney Jackson, to whom my letters are addressed. On the antitrust side, the name of the assistant AG escapes me now. But they were both on the call. I informed them of the FOIA request that came in, and I informed them of the CPA's intention to respond. The antitrust assistant attorney general advised me that that investigation was closed, so she had no issue with a response. Attorney Jackson, who was responsible for the whistleblower subpoena, advised me that their investigation was open and that they were concerned that compliance with the FOIA request could compromise the integrity of their investigation, and that they believed that there was a FOIA exemption that applied, and they told me what it was. There was reference that Mr. Collins made to public statements in connection with that discussion, and it is correct that the Attorney General's office did not order the CPA to not make a production because they do not represent the CPA. But they expressed their concerns about disclosing that subpoena and the compliance, possibly compromising the integrity of their investigation. Given that the Attorney General is the highest law enforcement authority in the state, we respected that concern. The CPA produced the antitrust subpoena thereafter and the interrogatory responses that were made under that subpoena. Thereafter, I had a number of calls in the fall with Attorney Jackson to inquire about the status of the investigation, whether it was closed, whether they continued to have, concerns with a production potentially compromising the integrity of their investigation. And in those calls, he told me that they were still discussing it internally and he would get back to me. On December 19th, the CPA received notice that the case would be set for a hearing, and I had a telephone conversation at that point with Attorney Jackson and said that, it was my understanding that they would be intervening to assert that objection given their concerns, and that now that we have a hearing date, I said I was going to be sending him a letter that informed him that if they did not intervene by December 30th, the CPA would be making a production. Given that it was December 20th and the Christmas holiday was right around the corner, I wanted to give them a little bit of time to get their intervention papers in. And so we gave them until the December 30th. The letter that I believe is Exhibit 1 is that letter that I sent to Attorney Jackson. He confirmed receipt of that in a response email to me. Thereafter, when nothing was received on December 30th, which was last Friday by the end of the day, on January 2nd, Monday of this week, I sent a letter to Attorney Jackson advising him that since there had been no intervention, we'd be making the production to Mr. Collins. Right after I sent that letter to Mr. Jackson, I sent the email to Mr. Collins yesterday at 4:30, which today he confirmed for me that he did in fact receive my email. My email, as you have it, offers to send it via FedEx today or to deliver it in person if you wanted to proceed today, and we delivered it in person today.
Attorney Heath, I just ask you a couple follow-up questions.
I put my phaser on stun.
At any point between August and today's hearing, had you communicated the Attorney General's office concern with respect to this pending request, this aspect of the request? Did you make Mr. Collins aware of the concerns being raised by the Attorney General's office with respect to disclosure?
I believe that he had become aware of them in the communication. I think it was a conversation directly with the CPA, and that's what prompted the inquiry that was made to the Attorney General's office, the one in which they said, we do not represent the CPA and we do not advise the CPA as their counsel.
And you also testified that it was your understanding that the Attorney General's office would intervene in this matter. What were you relying on to draw that conclusion? Was that something that was communicated to you? Or?
Yes, it was. It was my discussion with them. I said to them, my understanding is that if you believe that this will compromise the integrity of your investigation, that that is something that you will represent before the FOIA Commission by intervening in a hearing.
Would it be fair to say that the Port Authority would have disclosed these records but for the Attorney General's office, suggesting that they were thinking it over and were deciding what they wanted to do?
Yes, just as we did with the antitrust subpoena and the U.S. Department of Justice subpoena and the compliance there, too.
Attorney Hogg, I don't know if you have any other questions.
I don't have any other questions.
Can you speak a little bit to how it is that you know that the records that were disclosed yesterday constitute all of the remaining responsive records?
I can. So the records that are on the disk that Mr. Collins received are the records that we produced, Robinson and Cole produced, on the CPA's behalf to the Attorney General's office. We controlled the production, by which I mean to say that when the documents were gathered, we then housed them and we made a production to the Attorney General's office of those documents. We pulled from our same database the documents produced to Mr. Collins. So it is the complete set of documents given to the Attorney General's office under the whistleblower subpoena.
Okay. Do you have any questions that you want to ask, Attorney Lynn?
No.
Okay. Mr. Collins, do you have any cross-examination questions?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Could you explain why you felt it necessary to ask the Justice Department and the Attorney General for their permission to release these documents?
I did not ask them for their permission. I advised them that we were going to be producing documents.
And so I can clarify your responses a little bit further. Did the Attorney General ask you not to produce it?
The Assistant Attorney General with whom I spoke, Assistant Attorney General Jackson, said that they were concerned that a production of the whistleblower subpoena and the compliance made thereto would, you know, potentially compromise the integrity of their ongoing investigation.
The question was, did they ask you to not release it?
I've just told you what they
did. No, you said that they were concerned that a production would compromise the investigation, but I asked you, did they ask you not to release it?
I've just told you what they said to me.
Ma'am, it's a very specific question. Did they ask you not to release it? You said they were concerned about it compromising the investigation, but that doesn't explain or answer the question, did they ask you not to release it?
Do you have a specific recollection of them asking you not to disclose?
The conversation was limited to what I've just explained, which is they said that they had a concern about a production compromising the integrity of their investigation.
I think you got your answer.
They did not order me to.
And you suggested that they suggested that they were going to intervene. Did they ever say they were going to intervene?
They said they were determining what step they were going to take next.
Did they say that they might intervene?
They said that they might intervene.
But they never said that they would intervene.
They said they were evaluating the steps they were going to take.
But they never said that they would intervene, is that right?
They never intervened. They never committed to intervening.
Or said that they planned to and there was just not time to do it. Or they never said, we intend to intervene and give us more time to review it, right?
What they said is they needed to evaluate what steps they were going to take.
And how long did you feel it was necessary to give them? How much time did you feel was necessary for them to have that review? Given the fact that there's a timeliness in a request for the FOI for you to produce the material that the public is asking for, how long were you going to let it go on until this hearing date today? I guess.
Fair question. I was respecting their office's process. When they have an ongoing investigation of the public's interest, I was letting them determine how much time they needed to make their decision.
Did they ask you for time? Did they say how much time they wanted?
They did. They said, we will get back to you. We're analyzing our position, we will get back to you.
Did they suggest a specific time? No.
They did not, no.
And, okay. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Any redirect?
No. No redirect.
Just thinking if there's any other questions I want to ask along those lines. I don't see any other individuals in the room, Attorney Hugg, so I assume no other witnesses?
No other witnesses, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Collins, do you want to give a closing argument?
Sure. So, once again, I mean, this was a denial or a deferment that was waiting for an excuse. Even the testimony that they spoke to the Attorney General's office is in no way conclusive. According to the testimony, they didn't ask for more time. They didn't ask for it not to be released. They didn't say that they were going to intervene. It was the Port Authority looking for this intervention or this reasoning, and it never happened. And meanwhile, they let the timeliness of the request drift along until today's hearing. And if it wasn't for today's hearing, it would be another 6 months if the FOI Commission hadn't scheduled a hearing for today. Clearly a case of no, they had no legitimate reason. They're trying to get the Attorney General to object. The Attorney General's office said on the record, publicly in the newspaper, in Connecticut, that they were not advising the Port Authority not to release it. And yet they went months and months and tried to get them to think about it some more, even to the day before the hearing today. Hey, we're going to release it. Hey, please, come down. It's just preposterous. There was just delay, delay, delay until today's hearing. Thank you.
Mr. Collins' argument is mostly speculative about what he thinks may have happened as opposed to what actually happened from a person who was directly involved in the subpoena compliance. The subpoena compliance was substantial. The argument that the Port Authority was looking for a reason to not produce is inconsistent with any facts presented to this commission. Specifically, Attorney Heath testified that when they got the FOIA request, they contacted the Attorney General's office and discussed it with them. They had already produced or were about to produce substantial documents to Mr. Collins. They had already produced documents to the Attorney General's office and to the Department of Justice, which, by the way, is likely largely duplicative of what was just produced. All of the emails from all of the relevant parties were already produced. So the chances are that the actual documents that he didn't get were relatively less than perhaps what he's trying to make it out to be. The evidence is that the Port Authority wasn't looking for an excuse here. We were looking for a way around this without interfering with an elected official's investigation. They expressed concern. Representatives of this state charged with investigating these items expressed that it would impede their investigation if this disclosure occurred. And it seems to be missing, but they suggested the exemption. We weren't thinking of an exemption. We were thinking of compliance with the request when the Attorney General's office wanted us to cooperate and suggested the exemption, which we asserted. The exemption is in 210B13, stating records of an investigation, and then it goes on. Other sections of the FOIA Act exemptions suggest that records of law enforcement agencies that would interfere with an investigation are in other circumstances entitled to be withheld. We're simply trying to comply with both our obligation under FOIA and our obligation to the Attorney General's office and our public obligation not to intervene with the pending investigation. It's a fine line. You know, you could look at this in 2020 hindsight and say, well, maybe there was another way. But the reality is there wasn't. We were simply trying to deal with the subpoenas in the best way that we thought we could. I don't think that arises to the kind of unreasonable position that Section 206, which I think is being impliedly asserted here, that we had no reasonable basis for withholding the documents. Actually, there's no real evidence here that it was unreasonable. The circumstances that were then presented were dealt with in as reasonable fashion with full compliance on two-thirds of the request and likely more given the duplication. So we don't think there should be sanctions under 206 if that is what's being sought. If it's being sought under some other provision, then I would ask that Mr. Collins articulate, but that requires without reasonable grounds. So just don't think that standard is met here in light of the facts and circumstances and the exhibits presented to this commission.
Mr. Collins, how much time do you think you'll need to take a look at those records to determine if
Not long, maybe a couple of days. I say that only because sometimes these are password protected and I have trouble getting into them and looking through them, but I don't think they're long.
Can you, what I would suggest is that you reach out to the acting clerk of the commission, foict.gov, is our standard email, CC Attorney Hogg, and just advise the clerks if you have any concern with the production and if there is, if you're asking for the hearing to reopen to address concern with respect to the productions in full, though it sounds based on the testimony they gave you everything that they had related to the subpoena.
Okay. Sure. Can I have to the end of the week to do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And can I respond? To
sure.
This? You know, once again, and again, I don't think there's nothing on the record. The Attorney General knew back in July that this material was being requested. It was a public request at that point. He knew he has a team of lawyers, and he's certainly capable of intervening and objecting any kind of legal way he could have to slow this down or to stop the production of this material. He never did. There's not a single thing on the record. We have this sort of maybe they suggested, they wanted. Until today, There's nothing, as of today, there's nothing, absolutely nothing on the record that the Attorney General ever objected or saw any legal reason that he had to object to this. Whether they wanted to not have it come out or not, there's certainly nothing on the record. And all this time, the Port Authority has refused to release it and make it available. I think there's clearly a willful, and again, it's the Port Authority. They are under investigation. The chairman of the Port Authority is subject to this investigation and has apparently been the decision maker to not release this material. And I think it's a clear case of a willful delay tactic.
You know, that. It's kind of speculation to suggest that somebody is a target of investigation when he hasn't even reviewed the documents.
I was going to ask Mr. Collins, what's your basis for that conclusion that this particular person is the reason why these documents weren't disclosed?
The investigation, which has been publicly written about extensively in many of the state newspapers, is about the $500,000 success fee that was paid to the company of a former board member of the Port Authority. And Mr. Corris was the chairman at the time that the money was paid. He negotiated, he said publicly, he negotiated that final payment, was totally involved in the decision to do that, to make that payment, and that's what this investigation is about. And it's also the payment was the subject of a review by the Contracting Standards Board, and they said it could very likely be a considered a finder's fee and illegal under state law. So the chairman of the Port Authority is a number one, the central figure in this, and apparently the decision maker, because the Port Authority didn't decide not to release this material. Apparently, the chairman hired the lawyers to keep it out of the public domain for all this period of time.
So you think that the chairman would have had an interest in not having these records disclosed?
Hard to know until I see the records, but he certainly was the decision maker and certainly the subject of this investigation, as well as probably a federal investigation that was also part of the original FOIA request.
The records that were turned over?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And one more thing, I'm sorry, just to correct. Mr. Hugg suggested that some of the material is the same that was produced under the federal subpoena. That was a vast amount of material. Virtually all of the written documentation of the Port Authority since it existed. There's a wide-ranging subpoena, federal subpoena, so I'm sure some of it is the same material. The relevant part is exactly what the Attorney General, which I haven't reviewed yet, but exactly what the Attorney General was seeking in his investigation. That's the very particular part of this. This is the subpoena, not so much the response to the subpoena, but the subpoena and what they were looking at and what they were trying to determine. That's the news value, if you will, and it's not related to the FBI, to whatever may also have been in the response to the FBI warrant.
You can't speak. If there's something your counsel wants you to testify about.
Sure, yes. I would like him to speak. He's also an attorney with my firm.
Okay.
So I would ask him to, do you have a response to that, Mr. Heath?
Yeah, just on 2 points. No one knows what these investigations are focused on or what they're targeted on, whether at the federal or state level. You never know until charges come down or a case comes down or an indictment comes down. You just don't know. You can't look at a subpoena and say, aha, this person is a subject, that person is a target, this is what the case is about. As Mr. Collins indicated, the subpoenas he's seen are very broad. The subpoena he has in there is equally broad. So it is dangerously speculative to say this person is a target or that's what this investigation is focused on, as though there had been conclusions about something wrong being done. His point about the thing that have newsworthy value, my understanding is that's the very thing the Attorney General's office is concerned about when there's an investigation. I don't have the luxury of knowing what they're investigating. I wish I did. It'd make my job a lot easier in the cases that I have, but I don't know. They know, and they're concerned about members of the public potentially finding out what they're focused on and then doing things like destroying evidence or conspiring with witnesses. Those are the concerns that law enforcement has, and those are the concerns that we were trying to respect here.
By the way, Attorney Heath, in your practice, among other things, what do you do that's relevant here?
your kind of practice?
Yeah, I lead the firm's government enforcement, government investigations program. I've been at the firm for 23 years, and I've been leading that practice for over 15 years. So I routinely interface with law enforcement at the state level, such as the AG's office, I've had matters dating back to Mr. Blumenthal's days and through Mr. Jepson's time. And I've worked with the Departments of Justice offices around the country, as well as Attorney General offices around the country. So I have a sense of where their concerns are.
Well, you're the complainant, Mr. Collins. Is there anything you want to say in response?
Well, I would say that, you know, where their concerns are irrelevant. The point is that this request was made to this state agency. It's a public agency. It's supposed to apply by FOI law. They had the subpoena. Sure, it doesn't tell you about everything about the investigation. It doesn't explain, but it's a roadmap. And the very fact that the subpoena exists is evidence to the public that the investigation is underway. That's how we know that these things are being investigated. Certainly, no investigator wants anybody to know anything. I've been a reporter for 30 years. Of course they don't want it. So that's why the laws allow certain things to be released and known. And there's nothing in the law that says that the Port Authority is supposed to protect an investigation of itself by the Attorney General's office.
Well, as I said, I think the two issues are whether the disclosure was prompt and whether it's been a comprehensive disclosure at this point. So I'll take into consideration the arguments and the evidence that's been presented today, and Mr. Collins, get back to us in about a week to let us know if you have any concerns with this document. And if not, the issue will be narrowed to promptness. All right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Anything further?
By the way, the promptness, are we talking about the period from July 18th to August 13th?
Through the disclosure date.
Which was August 13th.
That's the first disclosure, right? Not what Mr. Collins hasn't gotten a chance to take a look at.
Right, but the appeal was filed some time ago.
Sure.
And are we talking about the period of disclosure while the appeal was pending? Because the appeal's been pending since...
So under the Act, Mr. Collins has a right to prompt disclosure and promptly receive all records responsive to his request. So to the extent that the Port Authority didn't disclose records until, was it yesterday?
Today, he handed me the envelope.
This morning, or some point today, the issue of promptness is before the Commission. I don't see what...
I'm just pointing out that there was an exemption that was pending and an appeal was pending for most of this point in time, and we have now, based on the testimony of pressing the Attorney General's office, have now affirmatively, through their negative action, they've decided not to intervene or press any further exemptions. So it's been one day since Friday that so I'm just trying to understand. I understand the period, because I think there's some suggestion that we've just been sitting around doing nothing.
And I think that's what Mr. Collins is asserting. And I think that the question that I think is before the Commission at this point is whether the claim of that exemption up through today was appropriate. And if it wasn't, then it's a question of promptness. Should the Port Authority have disclosed the records at an earlier date because there was no basis for asserting 1-210B13?
Oh, okay.
That's why I keep saying promptness. Should the records have been disclosed at an earlier date, I think is what Mr. Collins is articulating, that he's objecting to the timeliness, that it wasn't timely because the exemption wasn't appropriately applied in this case.
I see. Okay.
So I'll consider the testimony that's been given on the timeline and what has happened with respect to Attorney Heath's correspondence with the Attorney General's office about the records and the exemption being claimed. And I'll certainly take into consideration the points raised by Mr. Collins. And as I said, I'm also concerned with us tying up whether Mr. Collins is disputing that the production is complete at this time, and so I'm just giving him an opportunity to let me know that, so that if we do have to come back and take any testimony on the comprehensiveness of the disclosure, we can do that.
I thought you covered that.
Well, I took some testimony, but he hasn't looked at them, so I don't know if he's going to have an objection.
And I was going to...
Yeah, he hasn't seen them. He doesn't know if it is comprehensive or not. if all records have, you're contending that all records have been provided to date, and your witness testified about that, but he hasn't looked at them, so he may still be disputing that.
I see. But my understanding is that he asked for the subpoena response of what we responded, the subpoena and the response. And we've testified that we've responded to the subpoena, provided the subpoena and the response.
But he hasn't reviewed the records.
True.
So
I'm just wondering.
How would you do that?
I mean, how would he ever know?
By reviewing the records, and if he's contesting what's been provided, he can always ask for the hearing to be reopened to address that issue further. Anything further, Mr. Collins?
No, the email to FOI to say that I've reviewed the records. It's info at?
FOI@ct.gov.
FOI, that's right. Okay. Yes, thank you. I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Anything further?
Nothing further.
No? All right. So it is 2:59. We're adjourned, and I'll look forward to hearing from you in about a week, Mr. Collins.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your pen.
Oh, thank you.